1 Corinthians chapter 16. As we are reading from Paul as he closes his letter to the Corinthian church. Just looking at two verses today, but some have called this a sermon in a nutshell. Verses 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You will see a series of five imperatives, five instructions or commands in this closing remarks of the Apostle Paul. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, or act like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Succinct, isn't it? It nails it in so many different ways. As a student of the Scriptures, I've often encouraged you to ask questions. Why would Paul put this series of instruction here at the end? Why does he group these all together? Why does he put them back to back to back to back? Part of this explanation comes from understanding his audience, doesn't it? An understanding that he is writing here to the Corinthian church that has had its share of struggles, and we've looked at that as we've marched through the letter. And we have noticed that they've had some pretty serious problems. There was division in their midst. They were exalting men over the message of the gospel. They weren't caring for one another, and so when they would have troubles, they'd take each other to court rather than lovingly working it out amongst themselves. There was those in their midst that were openly sinning at immorality, and they had been allowing it to go on, and Paul exhorts them against this. There was a misunderstanding, and I believe an abuse of the gifts of the Spirit, and God, through the Apostle Paul, gave some very clear instructions for the church concerning his Spirit and his Spirit's work in the body. As we look here, the first instruction was watch. Watch ye. This puts me in mind of when I was a surveyor. And as a land surveyor, many times we would do road construction. And when we would do road construction, we would get out of the truck, and one of the first things we would do was we'd put on our orange vests. And then we put on our hard hats. Why would we do that? It's protection. We are entering into a place that is very, very dangerous. And we were entering into that with a certain spirit, a certain mindset. It was a watchfulness. And so we put these vests on, and we put the hat on, and we carried our orange cones where to the places where we needed to be, and we were extremely careful. We were watchful. This word speaks of paying strict attention to, being very conscious of where you are and with whom you are. Why does the church need this? If you are anything like me, if I am not in the Word of God for a day or two, if I am not with God's people for a week or two, and I am immersed in the environment of this world, I become lazy, I become lackadaisical in my ability to see the dangers, to realize the hardships, and it is easy to fall, to sin. Paul here at the closing of this letter, as he is blaring the trumpet and he is saying, church, wake up and be on the alert. This needs to be your state of living. There is no time for the church of God to sit back and to coast, to sit back and relax, because the world is out against us with all of its fury under the god of this world, Satan, the adversary. And he is out seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be vigilant, same word, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Church, we cannot rest in our heart and in our mind. We must always be on the alert. Now, lest you think that that sounds exhausting, unless that that tires you out, just like the hard hats, we got tired of them and were tempted to take them off. And the vests, they just didn't breathe enough and it was so hot. And lest you think that, listen, this is an instruction from God's word for you and for me, who we are pilgrims living just a short time here, but heading to a place of eternal rest. The presence of sin in our lives and in our world around us has created an environment from the fall where those that believe in God and live for Him cannot rest, except it be in our God and who He is. You know, as I think and contemplate that, we as believers, as we come to this time as a church together, I trust that you come and enter into this place and into this group of people, and that you are able to enjoy and appreciate what God is doing around you here. I'm so grateful that God has given us the church. And if any place we can take a break, it would be in the sphere of God's people and under the tutelage of God's word. But I want to remind you, none of us are perfect. Your pastor's not perfect. And we must always be on the alert, checking things with God's word and listening to His Spirit, who is alive and well in you as a believer. Be watchful. Be watchful. The second instruction that you see here is stand fast in the faith. You see, there are many threats that threaten us, and so we need to be watchful. But as we are watchful, it is important that we have a stance, that we know where we stand. Because, hey, you may see a danger, but you know, I want to ask you something. How do you know it's dangerous? How do you know it's a threat to your faith and to your walk with God? It is because you have a basis for your faith. It is because your feet are planted on truth. If at all, if you are ever tempted to take a break from church, may this be a warning to you. If you're tempted to take a break from time in the Word of God, may this be a warning to you. Paul here emphasizing this with this church in his closing remarks. Be watchful and stand fast in your faith and what you believe. And I submit to you that you know what you believe because it is in the Word of God, and this church supports and emphasizes the Word of God. These people, you and me, are to emphasize and make much of God's Word. We must stand fast, hold our position. There are many winds of doctrines today, and we must hold fast. Be careful what you read. Just this morning, I was looking through a catalog of a major book distributor. I was just curious, what are some of the writings that are coming out these days? What are some of the movies that Christian booksellers are advertising? Are you careful with what you read? I want to submit to you, don't just go by the label Christian. We have to be careful and watchful and then stand fast in our faith. And we know that because we have the Word of God. And so as you read your books and as you watch your movies and as you watch the TV shows and as you listen to preachers, including me, the Word of God needs to be checked and needs to be your basis. Be careful. Be on the alert. Because listen, the devil is not obvious in his schemes. Do you understand that? He's subtle. He's like an angel of light, folks. He dresses himself up real nice. And he can appear really, really attractive. Isn't that what happened in the garden? Oh, he had just about everything right. Just a few little things that led Adam and Eve in their sin. The church must be watchful. The church must stand fast in their faith. Now, the third instruction that we see in the King James, it says, quit you like men. In Old English, this is specifically speaking of act like, be like men. Some translations will call it be brave. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which is often a place where you can go to check some definitions, if this is, because this word is not used in the New Testament except for in this place. And it's translated in Joshua chapter 1, be strong and of good courage. Now, the very basis of this word in the Greek is men. Now, before you women and children check out, who is he writing to? Just men? No, he's not. He's writing to the entire church of Corinth that is comprised of men and women and children. And so here he says, act like, be like men. We've got a couple of things to talk about. First of all, is understanding biblical manhood. Biblical manhood is something that as you read through the Bible, God's Spirit begins to paint a picture of what it means to be a man that is pleasing to God. I want you to think with me about some of the men that are popular in the sight of God. You have Abraham. The scriptures talk much of him, and he is praised of him. And what did you see with Abraham? Some enemies came and took Lot. And they took Lot and all of his possessions and his family. And what did Abraham do? Abraham called his house together and his 300 some servants, and he led them out against the enemy, and he rescued Lot and all of his family and his possessions and brought them back. We see Noah, a preacher of righteousness. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah was asked by God to build an ark, something never done before. And he was told that it would rain upon the earth and that it would flood, and something to the best of our knowledge, it never happened before. And so Noah led his family in building this ark, a massive structure that was to comprise all the different kinds of animals, two of every kind. And what did Noah do? Noah got busy about the work. And he constructed this massive boat in the face of incredible opposition. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness, and he was a builder of a monument to God's faithfulness and salvation in the midst of incredible judgment. We have David. David, the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. You read about David, he was a boy's boy, watching his sheep. And I know as a young man, you hear the stories of David. Don't you just put yourself there with the lion and the bear and your slingshot? And you just think about the incredible adventures that would be had in the wilderness. But you know, being a shepherd is not an easy thing. Lions can kill you. And so can bears. But he was faithful, and God saw that. And God raised him up to be the king of his people Israel. From shepherd to king. From field to palace. But you know, his path to the throne was not easy. There was incredible opposition. And time again, David had to fight. And he had to stand up for what was right. And stand up for truth. And you know, he had mighty men with him. It's neat to read about these mighty men. They did incredible things. I mean, taking care of hundreds of people by themselves. David became king. And he ruled the nation of Israel. And God gave him a covenant and said that I will place forever upon this throne your son. You know, the Bible speaks of Jesus living on this earth. And you know, what is interesting is we don't see Jesus fighting physical battles. We don't see him fighting any wars. But we are privy and witness to some spiritual battles. Have you ever thought to ask, why did the Word of God include the temptations of Jesus there in the wilderness? Jesus stood firm and stood upon the Word of God as an incredible example to us. Jesus is placed before us as the example that we are to follow. We read about the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul did not have an easy road either. He began his life as a persecutor of the church. And then he was gloriously saved as he was riding off to Damascus. And God took him on journeys all across the Roman Empire to proclaim the gospel and to plant churches, to fulfill the mission that God had given to his church, to spread the gospel around the world. And the Apostle Paul did not cave under the pressure and under the turmoil and under the struggles and the physical pain and imprisonments, but he continued on and he persevered. And he was faithful. I could go on and speak of other men in the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11 is a great place as you march down through and read about different individuals of faith. Why do I go through all of this? Because Paul says here, act like men. Well, how do we know what that means? What does that mean? What does that look like? And I want to tell you something that we today, if we were to look outside of the scriptures and look at the world and say, we are supposed to be like men and we got our definition of manhood from the world, what would we end up with? Oh, there's all kinds of things out there that are labeled manly. The Bible tells us, and I will choose, and I encourage you to choose, to get your definition from the scriptures. The world would put out gruffness and grunts. The world would put out their physical strength. The world will put out their height and power in business. The world would say that you're a man that when you've made a fortune and you have all the toys anyone could ever want. The world would tell you that you are a man when you've been with a woman. The world will tell you that you're a man when you speak unkindly of your wife or children. That's not what it means to be a man. And the Bible now here in this instruction says, act like men to the church. First of all, I believe this is important in this aspect, and that is in maturity. The church ought not to be made up of children in their faith, in the way they act. Oh, there's certainly a process of that. But we as a church must never be content in immaturity, but in continually growing in our faith. Don't be content to be a little boy or girl in your faith in Christ, but striving to grow, to know Him, Christ, and to live for Him. allowing the influence of the Word of God to impress changes upon your life, whereupon one decision that you would make this year, next year, you may make it differently because you're growing and you're maturing and you are becoming a man in your faith. But something else I believe is important to understand with this call to act like men, to be strong and courageous. And that is this: we must be brave. You see, Paul understood that. What did he just say previously? I'm in Ephesus. There's an open door of opportunities, but there's many adversaries. Verses 8 and 9. He understands the pressures that come, and he is making the call to the church: you have to be brave in this climate, in this world. And church, may that be true of us. May we be brave. May we be strong and courageous. You know, courage and bravery is not found in the absence of conflict and turmoil. The call to bravery, the call to courage, is seen when the general is leading his soldiers into battle. He calls to them, "Be strong and courageous, my men." Because we're entering into a conflict. Church, we're in a conflict. Let's just admit it. Acknowledge it. We're in a conflict, and it is over the souls of men. And God is you, and He is me, and we're here on this earth for a purpose, not to make our lives something great, but to make much of the name of Jesus, so that many might also come to know Him, that someday when we are with Jesus, we will know true rest and we will know God's greatness face to face. So be watchful. Be cautious and on the alert. Stand firm and fast in your faith. Act like men and be brave. And fourthly, be strong. Be strong. This is certainly not a reference to the physical strength here. But this is a reference to the strength in spirit and resolve. As people of faith, we must not cower in the corners, but we need to be strong. Why? How can we be strong? I tell you this often. You can be strong because you know you have a strong God. How do you know you have a strong God? Because you spend time getting to know Him. And as you spend time getting to know God, He is going to show Himself mighty in your life. It's when you're reading passages of Scripture, like in 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, when the people of Israel are under attack, and God says to His righteous kings, "This is my battle." And God goes out, and He takes care of the entire enemy. And Jehoshaphat and his band of people just watch as God does the work. Be strong. But what's interesting is that this is in the passive, in the aspect that, you know what? Yes, we are to be strong, but how do we get that strength? That strength comes from the Lord. You can be strong because He gives you the strength. We are not alone, and we must not be afraid. Are you ever afraid? Are you ever afraid to be a Christian in today's world? Do you ever face those varying fears and wondering what people may say or think or do? Do you ever have the fears of who's going to come through that door who we don't know what their intention might be? It's happening on this side of the ocean. Yes, God's given us the emotion, the feelings. But God's word tells us to be strong. And so we need to help each other. To be watchful. To stand fast in the faith. To be like men. To man up. To be strong. Now here's what I love about the word of God. That with all those instructions, infused into every aspect of life is this last one. Let everything be done in love. Wow. You know, just as you were getting all riled up to get the weapons out, get the militia together, let everything be done in love. Now, this is an agape love. We've talked about that, interestingly enough, in this letter, haven't we? What chapter? Chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this love is laid out. So we're going to turn to chapter 13, and we're going to read a couple verses here about this love. In this context that we're talking about, this is the kind of love that he is saying needs to be covering all of these things. In chapter 13, we read verse 4. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity or love never fails. So we read this. And it sure does temper life, doesn't it? It puts it in this perspective that God wants his people to have. Something that's fascinating to me is the varying different personalities I see around me. The varying different personalities I see in my very own home. And how different people will express themselves. And how quickly they are to express themselves and how quickly they are to remain quiet. Some are very quick with their opinions, and others you have to really ask the right questions and drag it out of them. Some are a little rough around the edges. Maybe a little gruff at times. Others, just really, really, really kind. But God says here, this love ought to be what is defining for us as we contemplate and think about these exhortations. Because what does it say? Let all of these things be done in love. And so we ought to be watchful in love. Now, since this is written to the church, be watchful in love. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that as we are being cautious and careful in this world, we are also being loving. And if we are helping one another with this, it means that we lovingly will point out things and help one another to be on the alert. If we're going to stand fast in the faith, it means we are communicating the doctrines of the faith in love. It means that we help one another to stand fast and to stand strong in love. If we're going to act like men, if we're going to be brave and courageous, it needs to be done in love. If we're going to be strong, it needs to be done in love. If I were teaching this to my boys, which they are here, so I guess I am. What that means, boys, is when it's time for wrestling and you want to be strong, you follow the rules. And wrestling's fun, and you get to exert your strength. You're doing it in love. But you know, when you start breaking the rules, you start thinking about yourself, you start losing sight of love. And so is the same for us. So is your life ruled by love? I mean, I really see this as it's covering all this territory. Chapter 14 of the same book, verse 1, says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. We are to follow after love. Is your life characterized by love? You know, that's not rolling over, being soft, and just letting the world run all over you. Because what have we just been told? Be watchful, stand fast in the faith, be brave and courageous and strong. But you know, it's possible to be all of those things and yet love. And if that's confusing to you, if that doesn't make sense to you in your mind, I will tell you, it's because it's a God thing. This world doesn't know that. But a Christian, we can stand strong and love. And that must be the testimony of our church. That must be the testimony of you as a Christian in your workplace and in your family. Oh, be cautious. Check things with the Word of God. Lies are being told to us all the time. Media, internet, books, movies, co-workers, laws, governments, all of these things, we're being told many things that are not in accordance with God's Word. Be watchful, and may we not allow them to influence our lives. How do you know what is right and wrong when you're standing fast in your faith? You stand fast in God and His truth, the Word of God. Stay in it, folks. Be in God's Word. Young people, spend time in God's Word. You're entering into a volatile climate, volatile world. The world wants to swallow you up. Spend time with God. God will guide you and help you. Be like men. If you want to understand what that is, spend time looking at the men in the Scriptures that God honors. And it will shape and give you an understanding of what your life as a Christian ought to be as you stand up for Him. Be strong, but let everything be done in love. Lord, I thank you for these truths, and What a joy it is to be under the teaching of your Spirit and of your Word. God, we need this. Sometimes, Lord, we can be lax. And Lord, light a fire within us and a boldness to proclaim who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.